Hi friends, welcome back to another episode of Your Age Is Not Your Cage with Carla Allen. Okay, today we are going to talk about what this week is, because this week is a very special week in my life. It's Holy Week that leads up to Easter. So I just want to share a few things about this week and share some thoughts and what each day means and some scripture, and let that be something that I hope can help someone out there this week get a little more understanding about what Holy Week is, and that it's not just Easter Day, which is kind of what I've always focused on. It is a week of really focusing on the journey that Jesus took for us. As a Jesus follower, this is such a special week for me, and I just wanted to share some of it with you and share some of the things that I've learned. And I am by no means a Bible scholar or anything. Everything that I am sharing with you are things that I've looked up and things that I've learned. And so what I wanted to start with is, what is Holy Week? And as I did some looking into Holy Week, there's the different days. There's last Sunday was Palm Sunday. There's Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday, Holy Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then, of course, Easter, which we call Resurrection Sunday. And I didn't know, I knew the things that happen on these days, but like Palm Sunday is Jesus's entrance into Jerusalem. And I'll dig into this a little bit more as I go. On Holy Wednesday, it was like into the darkness, like when he was betrayed. And then the Thursday is the Last Supper he had with his disciples. Good Friday, of course, is Jesus being tortured and beat and hung on the cross. And then Saturday is that day in between. A lot of people, it's Holy Saturday, but they call it, I think it's Quiet Saturday, Silent Saturday. It's where they were going and visiting the tomb of Jesus. And then, of course, Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, when the tomb was empty. And so that is, as I go into Holy Week, that is what Easter is for me. Easter is not bunnies and eggs and all those things. Easter is about Jesus Christ giving up his life for mine. And so let me share with you a little bit. In Holy Week, it goes from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. And it's a journey. This week is like a journey of the final events of Jesus's earthly life. It's like an opportunity this week to dive into a deep reflection and remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. And it invites us in to learn more leading up to the resurrection and dig deeper into scripture and just grow in our sense of gratitude and worship for the Savior's ultimate sacrifice that he made for us. Some of the things like on Palm Sunday that went on, and I won't make these too long, but Jesus and his disciples traveled to Jerusalem for Passover week, and he sent John and Peter ahead with instructions to find a donkey, which they did, and then Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem. And think about it this way. The crowds were praising him and waving palm branches and cheering for him as he rode in. Some even put their, cloaks on the road before him as he came in. And wow, think of that moment last Sunday, Palm Sunday. They were praising him. And then these were the same people that on Good Friday were yelling, "Crucify him." Let that just marinate and digest that for a little bit. How quickly we are to turn. But one of the scriptures for Palm Sunday was Matthew 21:6-9. And I'll let you look these up, and I can put them in the show notes too. But it is when he comes in and they are saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so that is Palm Sunday that then leads into Holy Monday. And some of the things that were going on that day is Jesus heads back into Jerusalem. On the way, he sees a fig tree that has not borne fruit, and he uses the tree to teach about having inner righteousness and not just a nice appearance on the outside. Jesus wept over the city's lack of faith during that time, and he was upset and angry over a righteous anger over the temple, all the merchants in it. And so that was on Holy Monday as he made his way back into Jerusalem. And a scripture that you can look at for that is Matthew 21, 12 through 13, where it says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." And that's when all the merchants were in there, and that he cleared that out of there. Going into Holy Tuesday, some of the things going on as he went into the city, he uses the tree again, still to teach the power of faith. He tells several parables, to condemn the religious and to explain what the kingdom of God truly is. And he talks with his disciples on the Mount of Olives about the end times. And you can look these up too. And one of the great scriptures for that is Matthew 24, 42 through 44. And it's where he talks about, and I think about it in today's world, where it says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, and he would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." And that is so true for today's world, isn't it? For today's day, don't think you have tomorrow. Be ready today for Jesus Christ to return. And so moving on into, let's go to Holy Wednesday. And I've also heard it called Spy Wednesday. And that is... that is a day that Jesus just continued to teach. And then they were scheming about how to kill Jesus. And that is the day that Judas makes an agreement to Judas makes an agreement to betray to the Sadducees for gold. So betraying this man, this Jesus, Son of God, to betray him, the man he's been walking with and learning from, he is going to betray him for gold, for money. And again, it reminds me of the world today and greediness in the world and how quick we are to betray someone for maybe money or fame or whatever it is, status. And so that was on Holy Wednesday, and a good verse for that is Luke 22, 2 through 6, where it talks about how Judas comes in and meets with the temple guards, the chief priests and officers, and they were delighted and agreed to give him money. And so that's a good scripture to read for that. And then on Maundy Thursday, hopefully I'm saying that right, some of the events of that day, this is leading to preparations for the Passover. Jesus sent Peter and John to secure the upper room and ready that. And that evening, Jesus and all 12 disciples gathered there. And I always love a picture of that. As I tell you this, I close my eyes and I just envision this scene of them gathered around and talking and sharing. And they're just laughing and they're having a meal together. And then Jesus does an amazing thing too, to show love and hospitality. He washes their feet. And if you've never looked up the washing of feet, I recently listened to another podcast that have information on this, but washing of feet, and it was a sign of showing hospitality, showing that you're welcome and you're loved. And that is what Jesus did for them at their Last Supper together, even knowing that he was going to be betrayed. Think about that. Think about if you could do that, knowing you are about to be betrayed. You could wash their feet. You could sit and talk and just laugh and enjoy dinner with them. I think this day is one of the most incredible days that I often will reflect on, especially during this week, of just trying to imagine myself there in that moment with them. And he told them then at that dinner that he would suffer and die and that one of them would betray him. And that always blows my mind that nobody really questioned that. And Judas leaves during that to go find the guards to arrest Jesus. And that same day on the Mount of Olives, Jesus is arrested. If you've read on this at all, he's in the garden. He knows what is coming, and he is put before the authorities. First, it was Annas, and finally Caiaphas, the high priest, and they found him guilty of blasphemy and condemned him to die. They let another criminal go, and the crowd demanded that Jesus be crucified. But I want to read you this scripture from that day, Mark 14:22-26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. To me, that is one of the most beautiful scenes of the Lord being fully submitted to God, of Jesus being fully submitted in that moment. And the beauty of thinking of them singing a hymn before they went out is almost just overwhelming, because he knew what was coming. And he's having dinner with his disciples. He's washing their feet. He's laughing. He's talking. And he's singing hymns. It's just such an incredibly beautiful scene that then leads us into Good Friday. And Good Friday is wow, what a... I don't even know how to explain Good Friday, because it can create, as you could hear, I wanted to do a deep sigh. This is when Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor. And this is when he does offer the crowd a criminal, Barnabas, to be crucified instead. But the religious leaders stirred the crowd up to demand that Jesus be crucified. And finally, Pilate agrees. And Jesus is forced to walk to Golgotha, where he then hangs on a cross. He is nailed to a cross, and this is where he gave up his life for us. He died for us, for our salvation, for our sins, and I praise the Lord for that and what he has done for me. That same day, then, his body was taken down, placed in a tomb, and that is where he was laid. And the scripture that you can reference for that is Mark 15:25-26, and then also 37-39. But on Good Friday, as I grew up Catholic, and we would, from 9 to noon, have like quiet time, like that is supposed to be when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And I find that on Good Friday, I do like to take that day to really sit with the Lord and to reflect on that and to read the scripture and just pray and thank him and just have some solemn, quiet moments with him. And the thing I wanted to read for you was from that verse. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of Jews," with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." And it makes you think of he gave up all. He gave everything to save each one of us. And if you do not know Jesus, know that he did this for you too, for your sins. He did this for you to save you and me. And it's just incredible. It goes without words how amazing it is, this gift of mercy, that he was the only one that could rescue us. And out of love, he paid the ransom for us in full. And so I just ask you, it can be your prayer that to ask him, let the awareness of what Christ did sink deeply into your heart and mind, stirring you to give yourself to others. Thank him for that mercy in that he rescued us and paid that ransom in full for us. And then Saturday, Holy Saturday, which, like I said, some have called it Silent Saturday, Quiet Saturday. It's where the guards are at the entrance of the tomb. The Sabbath is observed that day, and it's quiet. It's a quiet day, and I envision it being a day of so many going, "What happened? Where's Jesus? What happened?" And I just picture it a day of being almost a day of confusion is what I think of and wondering. And one of the scriptures for that is Luke 23, 55 through 56. It says, "The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandments." And so thinking in that, just always remember that Jesus's plans cannot be thwarted. His disciples might have thought all was lost when he died on the cross, but they'd soon see how Jesus would bring his will about in a miraculous way. And so I just thank him, you know, thank him that we can trust in his promises even when we can't see exactly what he's doing. I mean, isn't that a daily? And there's so many times when we're confused and we don't know. And I just lean into him. I lean on his promises, lean on what the Bible says, what his word says. And I know who he is. I trust in his integrity, his character. And I believe in that. And I believe in those promises, even when I'm not sure exactly what he's doing. And I'm just so thankful for that. And then we get to Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, as everyone calls it Easter, but it is Resurrection Sunday. It is the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And Mary Magdalene was at the tomb, and the other Mary was at the tomb also. And when they got there, they found an angel sitting on one of the large stones that had covered the tomb entrance. And then the angel tells the women that Jesus is not in the tomb, but he has risen. Imagine being there for that. I just put yourself in front of that. Get these visions, think about them and close your eyes and get these visions of being in front of that tomb and the angel saying he is not there. And you can read Mark 16, 2 through 6, and I want to read that to you. "Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. And he shows them he is not there. He is risen. Our Lord is victorious over death and over life. He was not there. He has risen, and he's still risen, and he's still alive today. And one day he will come back in all his glory to this place and gather us up and take us home. And one of my very favorite songs I'm going to throw in here right now, and I'll put it in the show notes, is Come Jesus Come. I could sing that song just continually, the most beautiful, beautiful song. And that is what I think of, is Come Jesus Come. And I would say on Easter morning, it is a prayer of thanking him, of it being a glorious morning that Jesus is alive. And my prayer is that I remember the angel's wondrous news, and that it would always fill me with joy, and it would encourage me to tell others, to share with others, and to claim these truths for myself and celebrate them today and every day, but to share it. That is what this is. That's what it is about. Holy Week is a time of remembering, of remembrance, and an opportunity for even a spiritual renewal for those of us that maybe have gotten a little lax, mediocre in our faith. This is the opportunity to dig in and remember and get that awareness again. And if you don't know Jesus, ask for that awareness of Jesus' sacrifice and let it inspire us to live out our faith with intention all year round. And that's why I wanted to do this today. I wanted to talk about this today because I felt it so strongly that I was supposed to share about Holy Week this week. Because as we go through our weeks, and some days we just go through one day after another, not really giving much thought to the day, I wanted this week to truly be Holy Week, where that is where my mind is at, and that each day I am walking along the path in my mind, through my Bible, through my thoughts, of the same path Jesus was walking as he started down this journey this week to giving up his life for us. And I just praise the Lord for my salvation, my forgiveness of sins, and yours too. If you have more questions about this, please reach out to me anytime. I would love to dig deeper and share with you more, but I am going to put everything in the show notes. I'll put all the verses that I referenced and maybe a couple songs that are my favorites. But I want to finish with this verse, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And I encourage you to learn this one and dig deeper on this. Get a commentary and dig deeper into Bible verses. One I love online, which I'll put this in the show notes too, is, Enduring Word is what I believe it's called. And you can go in and put verses in and get good explanations if you're confused or you're not sure the content or what it means. Those are ways that can help you learn the Bible more. There's apps out there. Bible Recap is amazing. Let's Read the Gospels with Annie F. Downs. She goes through the Gospels with you and reads them. And I know she has a book on it too. But the Bible Project is another one I've heard a lot about. There are so many resources out there. And if you want more, just reach out to me and I will share some with you. One of my favorite devotionals is New Morning Mercies. And my husband and I read that together in the morning, and then we discuss it and we look up the scriptures, and that's a really good one too. So again, there's so many. But let me close out with this Easter resurrection, what I just think is a scripture that I want marked on my heart. I want in my memory. and it is Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so I leave you with that. Don't grow weary and lose heart, especially in today's world and all the things going on and the things coming at you and the news and the fall of our culture in so many ways. Don't grow weary and lose heart. Run with perseverance the race marked out for you, because you've got your eyes fixed on Jesus, not the world. You've got your eyes fixed on him and what he has for you and what he says you are, who he says you are. And it is not a thing to fear. It is not, this isn't the time to go to fear. This is the time to fix your eyes on Jesus, focus on him, be in his word, dig deeper into scripture, read commentaries, ask friends, do whatever you can, listen to worship music that just puts in positive things that your mind stays worshiping and glorifying him and not focused on the things of the world, because we can't take the things of the world with us. We don't want them with us, and we can't take those with us. So focus on the things that matter in your life, and that's your relationship with Jesus Christ, your family, your faith. Those are the key things that I want to share with you. So that is it for today. I hope and pray, Lord, I just ask right now that this has spoken into the lives of those that maybe needed a little, you know, kick in the butt to get them back on track, get them motivated, get them back in the Bible, get them in the Word, get them with people that can pour into them and fill their cup. But Lord, I just pray over everybody listening that someone, more than one, however many listen to my podcast, are touched by this and they share it. And they share it with those that don't know Christ and know that Jesus Christ wants to know you and he wants a relationship with you. And I pray in Jesus' name that many, many would come to know you this holy week and be blessed by the abundance you bring to their life, the abundance you bring with joy and love and peace and patience and your strength and your wisdom and your knowledge. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. I thank you, my listeners. Thank you for hanging with me on this one. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Your Age Is Not Your Cage.